He knew that that temple was not about brick and mortar. It was simply a representation of the temple that God will build, not made out of gold and silver and timber. It was going to be made out of lives.
You just heard a portion of the upcoming message titled Dedication by Pastor Abadan Shah of Clearview Church in Henderson, North Carolina. At Clearview, our focus is on making Christ visible, from the way we worship, to the way we serve, to the way we love one another. Come check us out at 3485 Oxford Road in Henderson, or visit us online at clearviewbc.org. Now join us for the rest of this week's message.
How do you give someone something that already belongs to them? Now, how do you dedicate a building that already belongs to God? How do you dedicate this place because it's already His? So what are we doing when we say dedication? We are really dedicating ourselves to God. What we're saying to God is that we are committing ourselves to worshiping the living, true, triune God. We are committing ourselves to magnifying and glorifying Jesus Christ, who became man to take the punishment of our sins upon Himself. We are committing ourselves to sticking and standing on the Word of God, whether it's in preaching or teaching or everything we do. It's about the Word of God. We're committing ourselves to submitting to the leadership, the authority of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We are committing ourselves to reaching the lost. We are committing ourselves to being a lighthouse, not just in this community, but all over the world. So we're really not dedicating this building. It's already His. We're truly dedicating ourselves to God. It's not about the brick and mortar. It's about hearts and lives. If you have your Bibles with you, turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 6 and verse 41. We're going to walk through the dedication of the temple and the prayer that Solomon made before the whole assembly of Israel as he dedicated that temple to God. But let me qualify before we go there. This is not a temple. This is not even the church. It's the building. The church is you. The church are the people of God. This is just the place where we come together and meet, but there are still parallels that we can learn from as we dedicate ourselves to God. So if you have your Bibles open, 2 Chronicles 6, verse 41, let's all stand for the reading of God's word. Now, therefore, arise, O Lord God, to your resting place, you and the ark of your strength. Let your priests, O Lord God, be clothed with salvation, and let your saints rejoice in goodness. O Lord God, do not turn away the face of your anointed. The word in Hebrew is Messiah, Messiah. Lord, don't let your Messiah walk away from this temple. And remember the mercies of your servant David. Now listen to the very next verse, which is chapter 7 and verse 1 of 2 Chronicles. When Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple, and the priests could not enter the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. Can you imagine that? They could not walk in because God's presence was so real. Our hope is that people will have the same experience, and not just in some smoke or some incense, but they will sense that this is a place where God is. Now listen to the response of God's people. When all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord on the temple, they bowed their faces to the ground on the pavement. You see what they're doing? They're dedicating themselves. Somehow, we have a very poor understanding of the ancients. We think they didn't get it. Oh, they got it very well. They also knew that it was not about the temple. It was about their hearts. So they bowed their faces to the ground on the pavement, And they worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good. They didn't say for the temple is good. For he is good, for his mercy endures forever. This morning, before we pray and go into the message, when was the last time you fell on your face before God? When was the last time you dedicated yourself to God? And not just one thing or two things, but all of you, your mind, your body, your time, your wallet, your children, your vision, your dreams, that you submitted them to God and said, God, not my will, but yours be done. Today is the day you should do that. Towards the end of the sermon, make it a point to walk down as an individual, as a couple, as a family, and dedicate yourself to God. Are you saved? Do you know Christ as your Savior? As John read that passage from Ephesians, we are the holy temple. All of us are part of that temple. We are the stone, the gold, the silver, the timber. We are part of God's holy temple built by the Holy Spirit. If you're not saved, you're just a rock. You're just a tree. You're just a log that is lying about. What needs to happen is for you to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, as your King. And at that moment, the Holy Spirit takes you and he places you where you belong, in the holy temple of God. And who is the cornerstone? Jesus Christ. The passage we just read comes from a very high point in the history of God's people. After years of delaying and deferring, they finally decided to build a temple to God. And who was the man who made this decision? It was King David. I want you to hear these words. In 1 Chronicles chapter 17, verse 1, it came to pass when David was dwelling in his house that David said to Nathan the prophet, listen to his words, see now, I dwell in a house of cedar, and yet the ark of the covenant of the Lord is under tent curtains. David's desire was not to house God. Don't misunderstand this. David was far more advanced than we think he was. And so this was on his heart. But you know what God said to him? God, he said, David, that's very noble, but I don't think you're the man. Now, David did not know at the time why God said what he said. But later on, we find out why God said, David, you're not the man, because David was going to commit adultery with Bathsheba. And then he would have her husband brutally murdered. And so later on, David himself says it. Listen to what he says in 2 Chronicles 22:9, verse 8. He says, but the word of the Lord came to me, saying, you shall not build a house for my name, because you have shed much blood on the earth in my sight. But who will do it? Listen to verse 9. Behold, a son shall be born to you, who shall be a man of rest. Now, keep in mind, when God said that, of course, he was talking about Solomon, because Solomon is not going to wage the same amount of battles that David waged. But Solomon was not ultimately a man of rest, because what we know about Solomon? Solomon, ultimately, when he died, people said to his son, please lift the burden that your father has placed upon us. I mean, Solomon did not ultimately fulfill this promise. Who was he referring to? Who was David talking about at this point? He was talking about the man of rest, who will say, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. That's Jesus. Jesus came from the line of David. Jesus came to sit on the throne of David, whose kingdom shall never end. So even though this promise is given first about Solomon, ultimately it was about one greater than Solomon. Even Jesus said that way. Now, when we think about the temple in Jerusalem, most people often think about Herod's temple. When you see images, you see videos, we're not really looking at the depictions of Solomon's temple. It's really Herod's temple that you're looking at. And it was very impressive. In fact, Herod's temple was twice as large as Solomon's temple. I mean, it was elaborate. He extended the grounds. He built those retaining walls. Even to this day, people go and pray at the wall, the western wall. This is from Herod's time period. So it was an elaborate building. It was extravagant, but it was no comparison to Solomon's temple. Herod's temple was huge. Solomon's temple was small, but it was ornate. Very expensive. Let me give you some stats on how expensive this place was. 1 Chronicles 22:14. David is talking to Solomon at this point. He said, "Indeed, I have taken much trouble to prepare for the house of the Lord." Now, pay attention to these numbers. 100,000 talents of gold. How much is a talent? I did the math for you. It is 3,000 tons of gold. That comes to about $128 billion worth of gold. David collected gold, and then Solomon collected gold. 120, I can't even think that far. But that's not it. Listen to this. And 1,000,000 talents of silver. That's 30,000 tons of silver. $14 billion by today's money. So add those two things up. 128 billion plus 14 billion is how much? $142 billion Solomon and his father spent on the temple. If God cannot live in a temple built by man, why in the world would they waste so much money? Keep that thought. We're going to come back to it. But we're not done. Listen to some more. And bronze and iron beyond measure, for it is so abundant. So when you would walk in the temple, remember those two pillars? One of them was called Yakin, which means God establishes. The other one was called Boaz, which means in God is strength. Listen to this, verse 14. I have prepared timber and stone also that you may add to them. By the way, this temple was smaller than Herod's temple, but still, it was about 40 feet wide, 130 feet long, and 50 feet tall. So here's how it goes. Every inch of that place was covered and overlaid with gold and silver and precious stones. You walk into this building, and what do you see? You see floral patterns carved into the walls of the temple. You see cherubims carved into the walls, and then some huge cherubims inside the Holy of the Holies. And then every sacred object inside, candelabrum, tables, lamps, all were made of precious metals and wood. They did not spare anything. Listen, they did not spare anything in building the temple of God. Where am I going with this? The church is not the temple. The building is not the temple. Even the building is not the church. The people are the church. Having said that, sometimes people cut corners when it comes to church. It is a travesty when you see people living in nice, luxurious apartments and mansions, and the churches, the church buildings are in shambles. There's something wrong with that. Anybody else agree with that? You walk in some of the buildings and the carpet reeks. There is mildew. No one has cleaned the bathroom in 2 years. Now I come from India, so maybe that's what it is. We believe that that church building should look better than our homes. How opposite is that? I believe how your church building looks is a reflection of how you think about spiritual things. It's a reflection of our priorities that here, and by the way, there's a rule here. I know this is a dedication's first service, and I'm already fussing. If it's not good enough for your home, you want to throw it away, don't bring it to church. Preacher, we're about to throw away this couch. Would y'all like that in church? I know where it will fit real well. No, if you're going to throw it away, how about doing this? You keep that couch, buy a new one for the church. Amen? I mean, how in the world? Well, how do we justify that? That give God what's used up and left over. He's all right with that. Well, you know, this is not really the temple anyways. Shame on us. These men, they did not spare anything in building the temple of God. So should we. When it comes to building a place where we meet, let's not stand back and say, well, that's just way too much. Cannot be enough. God gave his son. He gave his only begotten son for us. Now I want us to focus on something else. I want us to focus for the next few minutes, our time is already running away, on the prayer of dedication that Solomon makes to God. Starting in verse 12, 2 Chronicles chapter 6. Then Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the assembly of Israel. And listen to what he does. And he knelt down on his knees. Picture with me Solomon the king. His robe is purple, and he is covered in precious stones and gold and silver. And he kneels down before the people and he spread out his hands toward heaven. He knelt down, and listen to this, before all the assembly of Israel. This man did not care one bit that his generals and his leaders were standing and watching their king kneeling. I know I've qualified many times already. This is not a temple. This is a building where God's people meet. Having said that, please listen carefully. When we come into this place, we should come in a spirit of humility. You know what Christians do overseas when they walk into the church? The first thing they do is they sit down and they pray before they talk to anybody and shake hands with anyone. They just walk right in, sit down, pray, and then they're ready. What they're saying is, God, prepare my heart. Some things are not right. The devil is having a heyday with my life. He's messing with me. Get me ready. Come with a spirit of humility. Come with a spirit of expectation. And listen to verse 14. And listen to Solomon's prayer. He said, Lord God of Israel, there is no God in heaven or on earth like you who keep your covenant and mercy with your servants who walk before you. Verse 15. You have kept what you promised. You have kept what you promised. You are a covenant-keeping God. When you come into this place, come with that spirit of, God, I trust you. Not this, we'll see how it works out. We're going to do the best you can. Shame on us for talking that way. Solomon begins with this prayer, knowing that his treasury is empty. And he says, God, you are a God who keeps promises. When you come into this place, my challenge, my encouragement to you is come saying, God, I believe, I trust, you are capable, you are more than powerful to handle what I'm facing in my life. You know, when you pray that way, when you have that trust, that faith in God at that moment, God smiles at you. You see, this is why Solomon was so blessed, because he did things that pleased God. What else did he do? Verse 22. If anyone sins against his neighbor and is forced to take an oath and comes and takes an oath before your altar in this temple, then hear from heaven and act and judge your servants. Means God knows the heart. You cannot cover up your sins before God. Come into this place and listen to how Solomon says this. He says, then hear from heaven and act and judge your servants, bringing retribution, means punishment, on the wicked, and justifying the righteous by giving him according to his righteousness. When you come into this place, it doesn't really matter if you come
and say things to me like, man, I tell you, my wife, she is the problem. Or you come into this place, my husband is the problem. Or this person, they are the reason why I'm this way. Be honest. When you are in the presence of God, when you are hearing the word, worshiping in Sunday school, in some ministry, be honest before God and say, God, it is me who needs help. Listen to what else Solomon says. Verse 24, or if your people, Israel, are defeated. This is powerful. If they are defeated before an enemy because they have sinned against you, and return and confess your name and pray and make supplication before you in this temple, then hear from heaven and forgive the sin of your people. Means when you come into this place, come with a spirit of repentance. Remember in our series, when you repent, repent is not that I'm going this way and now I turn around and I start going this way. No, repentance is a change of mind. True repentance is changing your mind about that behavior, that attitude, that sin, and saying that is a sin and God hates it. When you come into the church building, have that spirit of repentance. Listen to verse 28. When there is famine in the land, pestilence or blight or mildew or locusts or grasshoppers, means the unexpecteds of life. Now, don't raise your hand, but how many of y'all are sick and tired of the unexpecteds of life? It's like it's always one thing or the other. If this settles down, this starts. If that settles down, this starts. When you come to this place, be like Solomon and say, God, here I am. I am tired, God. I need your help. What is the promise when you will make that supplication? It says, then he will hear from heaven your dwelling place and forgive and give to everyone according to all his ways whose hearts you know. Now here comes verse 32. Moreover, concerning a foreigner who is not of your people Israel, but has come from a far country for the sake of your great name and your mighty hand and your outstretched arm, when they come and pray in this temple. I mean, he is really stepping out on a limb, isn't he? I want you to hear very carefully. This is a church for all people. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter what color your skin tone is. It doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor or which side of the tracks you live on. It doesn't matter. This is a church for all people, because if you truly believe the gospel, that there is only one way, truth, and life, and Jesus is the only way, then how in the world can we be prejudiced? How does that work in your mind? I'll tell you personally right now, there have been people who came to me and said through the years, hey, we love this church, we love you and all that, but if those kind of people come here, we're not going to stay. You can't do that, folks. You cannot be that way. I mean, this man, I would not have done what Solomon did. I would be like, hey, you say it. He did it. Wow. The king of Israel standing in the temple of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and he says, if a foreigner comes in here, he is welcome. Why are we afraid to say that? It doesn't matter who you are. If you need forgiveness of sins, if you need eternal life, come and find Jesus Christ. Listen to verse 41. Now he ends the prayer. Now therefore arise, O God, to your resting place. You and the ark of your strength, let your priest, O Lord God, be clothed with salvation. Let your saints rejoice in goodness. And then listen to this, O Lord God, do not turn away the face of your anointed. The word anointed is Messiah. Messiah is God's anointed chosen king. Solomon is looking through a telescope that one day the king will come. God, don't let him walk away from this temple. Don't let him be disappointed with this place. Listen to what else he says. remember the mercies of your servant, David. Remember I asked you the question, why do you think they spend so much money on that temple? David was a man after God's own heart. He knew that that temple was not about brick and mortar. It was simply a representation of the temple that God will build, not made out of gold and silver and timber. It was going to be made out of lives. Lives that would be full of the glory of God, shining brightly. It was a representation of us. He said, "Ah, that's kind of a far reach." Let's go back to the verse John read earlier, Ephesians 2:19. "Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners." What did Solomon say? If a foreigner comes into the temple and he prays, God listened to them. Here's the fulfillment. You and I were outsiders. "Now therefore, you're no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God." And what does this household look like? "Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a," say it with me, "holy temple in the Lord." David, if you want to know messianic prophecies in the Old Testament, read the Psalms of David. He saw one day not only that Jesus will come and die a brutal death on the cross, but he also saw a whole new temple being built. And it was so radiant, it was so lustrous, it was so beautiful. He says, "Son, I know it's not ready yet, but I want us to build a temple that would be just as beautiful so that one day, the Messiah will come and build the temple of God." How do you get into this temple? Is when you and I receive Jesus Christ as a Lord and Savior. At that moment, you're just a rock, and you are taken, and you are chiseled, and you are brought in and placed somewhere in that temple. You're just a block of wood, and you are taken and carved and smoothed out and placed somewhere in that temple. And who is the one who is doing this? Listen to this. "In whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the..." The Holy Spirit is the contractor. Has that happened in your life? Are you just a boulder somewhere in Tyre? Are you just a cedar somewhere in Syria? Are you just an ore sitting somewhere in some mines in the Jordan Valley? Are you just lost? When you come to Christ, is the Holy Spirit who begins to place you in the holy temple where Christ is the chief cornerstone. And you begin to shine, and you grow, and you reflect the glory of God.
Thank you so much for joining us for this message. Just as Solomon dedicated the temple to the Lord, we want to dedicate not only our new sanctuary, but ourselves as a church to God, to be used in the service of His kingdom. It's only by surrendering our plans to Him that we can be used for His glory and for the furtherance of the gospel. For more information, visit us online at clearviewbc.org. And for this sermon's notes, check out Pastor Shaw's blog at abadanshaw.com.